Welcome to Parents' Perspective.
It must have been 2 or 3 in the morning on our second night in the hospital. The night nurse, the same one who gave me the hand pump, woke me. It was time to feed Sophie. Peter, still fully dressed in the clothes he'd worn to the hospital that first day, was half asleep in his bed. I sat down in one of the room's metal institutional chairs. The nurse handed me Sophie and left the room. Sophie seemed tightly swaddled, but she flailed about crying, shaking loose most of the blanket. Her little arms would cover her face and get in the way of the latch. I needed a third arm just to get her in position. At first, I asked Peter to hold down her arms, but his hands got in the way. I knew if I could just move her tiny arm out of the way, I could get a good latch. Because I'm 5'9", the distance from my newborn to my breast was nearly a foot. I hunched over, but the process wasn't working. I wanted to be one of those problem-solving mothers. After all, I'm a problem solver. I was scared of heights, yet I managed to climb Mount Katahdin, the highest point in Maine. It took me 2 days, and several Boy Scouts were forced literally to climb over me. But I did it. As a documentary filmmaker, I had survived the world of women's boxing with its promoters and trainers and navigated the treacherous waters of New York's swing dance community. I was sure I could figure out how to nurse a baby. I thought that if I picked up her arm by grabbing the sleeve of her shirt between my teeth, I would be able to move Sophie into nursing position. I simply nabbed a little bit of cloth and was then able to pick up her arm. There she was, in position. Sophie's mouth opened as far as it could go. At first she was silent. Then a scream, like nothing I have ever heard, came out of little Sophie. "What happened?" Peter got out of bed. "What did you do?" I lifted back the sleeve of her shirt and spotted a confetti-sized bright red mark. I had just bitten my 2-day-old daughter. I think I bit her.
This story is from Lisa Wood Shapiro's new book about breastfeeding and her first year of parenthood, How My Breasts Saved the World, Misadventures of a Nursing Mother. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about breastfeeding our babies? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has already introduced you to her delightful and informative new book. Lisa Wood Shapiro is a writer and an Emmy-winning filmmaker whose work has appeared on PBS, A&E, Nickelodeon, and Noggin. She has just introduced us to her new book, How My Breasts Saved the World, Misadventures of a Nursing Mother. Lisa lives in New York with her husband and 2 children, a daughter, age 3 1/2, and a son, age 20 months. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Lisa.
Thank you for having me.
For you, what turned out to be the biggest myth about nursing a baby?
Oh, the biggest myth was that it was natural. And natural translated in my mind as something that I would know how to do by instinct. It was an innate sense, and that's a myth.
I wonder if it's natural only for, like, kittens and cows and things.
It's only been recently that women have been taken out of their community. There was a time when you went to church or synagogue or you went somewhere, you would see someone nursing. And as my lactation consultant explained to me, I should have seen, anthropologically speaking, 1,000 latches before I had my first baby.
We have to explain that a latch is not something that's on the door, right?
A latch is not on the door. The latch is the point of contact between the baby's mouth and the mother's breast. And I would have seen how to latch a baby on. For example, I was bringing my daughter in very gingerly, very delicately into my chest, because the only latch I had seen was Brooke Shields in the Blue Lagoon. And women, and I am generalizing completely, but as an American woman that thought I was so savvy, for example, I knew where in New York City to get the best leg wax. I knew where to get my highlights done. I knew where to get my nails done. I knew all this other kind of
the important stuff,
right? Bodily stuff of vanity. I had not, however, been in any kind of community of women. And what I mean by that is I wasn't part of a sewing circle or a cooking club. I mean, these are domestic things, but I'm just trying to think of what women used to kind of be part of. And so I
was the old quilting bee.
Right. I would have seen latches.
And families. You would have lived probably near or with grandparents and aunts, uncles, cousins, somebody. who might have been nursing a baby along the way.
I think that there's two communities of women. Those who are without children working in the workforce and your friends might not have children. And then there's this other world, and a door really opens and shuts to this other world of mothers. I don't know why that is. Maybe I'm only speaking about my experience. I was the first in my circle of friends to have a baby, and that put me at a great disadvantage. But I really think they're separated for some women. And in my case, that was true. I knew one mother of a contemporary. And so I think that's why the myth kind of exists.
And 33 years ago, I was like that, pretty much as you describe. And I did have a best friend who was nursing a baby. But if you think I paid attention while I was pregnant to how she did it, I just thought, isn't this cozy? The two of us are sitting and having a chat and she's feeding her baby without any thought until there I was like you. So
I thought I'd be sitting in my glider once or twice a day and I'd have some Mozart playing and I'd look lovely and I'd be nursing.
A designer robe, no doubt.
Right. It was a shock for me then. It probably, if I have a third, I would probably actually achieve finally. But nursing doesn't have to be that way. And I think that's the thing that I think the myth exists, because I don't know if pregnant women pay attention. I was just saying to my husband, why do we as women, and I'm really generalizing, but this happens to me all the time, not want advice when we're pregnant? Like, was it always that way? Were we always kind of like, oh, don't give me advice? Don't you hate when people give you advice when you're pregnant? And I almost want to say to everybody, what's it going to hurt? Just suffer it gladly for 5 minutes. You might actually. So I don't know why. I think that's also part of a bigger issue. But
it may be the issue that we're so separated and the advice we're getting is not from Great Aunt Jane. It's from some lady that we saw in the grocery store. And so it's our whole sense of family is all strange.
Or it could be the mother-in-law who would love to say something, but you can't.
Right, you can't.
Anybody we know?
Right. No, I understand that. And you want to be polite. You know, I was trying to think about motherhood and why I wrote this book. And I think the idea that motherhood is something that's natural. Again, that word. And I think because we're supposed to have this maternal instinct. And I was thinking about, you know, therein lies the problem, because it really is something, it's a learned skill. Now, I have met a couple of friends that have said, I just popped them on and it went well.
It's like the women who go out in the fields and have their babies, right. And they say, well, now what?
That, and then there's this is the other point. If you did have trouble, I don't know if there's ever an opportunity to really be honest about that, because I think nursing is considered healthy. I think there's quite a bit of research that says that it has great benefits for the child. And I wonder if also it's like really the last taboo. People will tell you about their money. They will tell you about their sex life. They will tell you how they had some surgery done to them, to their nose before, or even people will tell me about their breast augmentation before they would ever really, I think, come clean. And I really believe this, you know, because no one really wants to honestly say, I had trouble that first 2 weeks, or my daughter and I weren't in sync nursing for 3 months. I mean, you know, is there that forum to discuss it? So
we'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on breastfeeding.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with author Lisa Wood Shapiro about breastfeeding. In your book, How My Breasts Saved the World, you cite so many funny adventures. What's your favorite story, if you have one?
One of my favorite stories from the book, and this is because I love my father-in-law so much, was he's a doctor, but he's also a guy, and I didn't really want to come to him and tell him that I was having trouble nursing. But my midwife went out of town, and the backup doctor was also a gentleman. And I felt more comfortable just calling my father-in-law and saying, I was at my breastfeeding support group, and as my lactation consultant told me, she thought my nipples were looking an angry red. And at the group, people said, oh, that could be thrush. And I, of course, said, "What's that?" I had no idea that it was
a bird. Right.
Right. I had no idea. It was, everything had kind of gone wrong, and I had fixed almost everything. And they said, "Well, actually, it's a yeast infection." And I thought, who knew you can get a yeast infection on your chest? Well, I called my one friend with children, and she said, "You know, you should get this nice statin cream. You know, it's prescription. Just get it. It'll work. Try it." And so, of course, I called my father-in-law, and I just wanted one thing from him. I wanted him to phone prescription for nystatin ointment into my pharmacy. And he's old school, and he doesn't want to do anything unless he knows what's really going on. I called him and I said, "Listen, I think Sophie and I have thrush, and I'm not sure about her tongue." And he said, "Well, when you come out to Long Island tonight, I'll take a look." And I was really, I said, I don't feel comfortable with that. And I really didn't feel comfortable with my father-in-law looking at my naked nipple. But the point is, this phone call kept going on, and I'd call him back and I'd say, "Please just call in this prescription. I don't feel comfortable." Finally, I called my husband. I said, "Can you please call your dad and just tell him to call in this prescription? He wants to look at my chest." And my husband, who was trying to say the right thing, said, "Just let him. He's a doctor." And I was horrified. Finally, I finally called him. I said, "Look, I can't show you my chest." And he said, "Chest? I thought we were talking about your tongue." And I said, "How would I get the thrush in my mouth?" And he goes, "Well, that's what I wanted to know." And it turned out that he never really went. And it was this horrible who's on first.
Oh, dear.
And he goes, "Well, this is the end of that conversation." And it took us about a year to laugh about it. So that was one of many.
Lisa, is there one warning that you might give to new moms and possibly to new dads?
Don't focus so much on labor and not focus on what's going to be really your life as a new mother. And if you wish to breastfeed, don't overlook that, because there are hundreds of classes out there, from prenatal yoga to prenatal exercise, all these classes you can take, and they're wonderful, and you do want to stay in shape and prepare for labor. But of all the things that can happen in new motherhood, you might not have as much control over how your labor goes as you think. You know, you can't always get that baby out of breech. You can't always make sure that, you know, your placenta isn't blocking a certain, you know, exit. And so I think what moms need to also understand is you can plunk down thousands of dollars preparing for this labor that may not go at all like your birth plan. And yet you may overlook having six numbers of lactation consultants at your disposal, having maybe several nursing pillows to make sure one fits right, you know, and is the right, most comfortable one for you. Having a network of people to call for breastfeeding. And, you know, I think that's the biggest warning. For example, the reason I'm saying a pregnant woman can prepare for this now, you may not know that your breastfeeding isn't going well till the 20th feeding. That's when all of a sudden the skin on your breast finally can't take it anymore. That's when suddenly you realize the baby isn't gaining weight. It may take that 20th feeding, but if you see a lactation consultant, let's say 24 hours after having a baby, they can say to you, by examining the sucking motion of your baby, they evaluate that. "Oh, this baby's putting their tongue this way," or, "Oh, this baby doesn't have a strong suck. We're going to need to actually help them learn this a little more." And that fine-tuning is something you can prepare for.
I remember after delivering the first kid, and I said very wisely to the doctor and my husband, "Well, at least the hard part's over." And they all looked at me like I was an idiot. Your husband Peter gets credit and some blame throughout your saga. How do you think new moms and dads can help their marriage weather the storm of new parenthood?
I think new mothers and new fathers can weather the storm of new parenthood by always remembering they're a team. I mean, my husband was a saint. I really look back and I believe that he was just absolutely there for me. And there were a couple nights that I think he made one breast joke and never made a joke again. It's going to test the strength of your marriage, and you will know at that moment if you have a saboteur amongst, you know, in your midst. I mean, I unfortunately do know stories of the just give him the bottle husband who comes in and really doesn't appreciate this competitor in the house, and the competitor's the baby. So it's going to test your marriage, good and bad. And I've witnessed it enough now to know that that's really when you're going to find out, you know, what you're both made of, especially if you haven't gone camping with them prior to having a baby. I recommend that. I think, you know, a supportive husband is all you can ask for. And I definitely had the kind of husband that helped me and was there for me and always believed that my attempts to breastfeed were worthwhile, to the point where I was successful and I was able to exclusively breastfeed. Just support. I mean, 100% support. And you never want to be in a situation where you're penny wise and pound foolish. I have had husbands say to wives, $165 for a lactation consultant? Forget it. Not realizing they're going to spend over $1,000 on formula in the long run. So that's what gives me the shakes, is when I hear stories like that. Like, you know, set some money aside prior to having a baby. And, you know, maybe you don't buy the, you know, the really fashionable maternity shirt you're going to wear for maybe, I don't know, 2 months of your pregnancy, but put that money aside. And that's where husbands can really come in and say, you know what, this is worth it. We're going to budget and we're going to make this happen.
So it sounds like, too, that maybe expectant mothers can do some supporting of the husbands beforehand so that then they can draw on that bank account when they need it.
Well, sometimes I think marriage is assisted living. But, I mean, yeah, you have to kind of prime them. And we all through my pregnancy, I said, I'm going to breastfeed. I was breastfed. And also, I was very lucky. My mother-in-law had breastfed my husband. So we were amongst supportive people.
In many cases, women don't realize that husbands need to know a little bit about this. They need to know there's a reason you want the baby to have this kind of nutrition and that you are going to require some support. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll be one of the very few lucky people that doesn't have any weird things happen, but most of us did. And when I was breastfeeding my children, nobody in my family had done that, but my friends had. And that's where the support came from. And that's who could help me and could say, why don't you try it this way? And I also called the La Leche League for advice on the phone. And they were very helpful. We didn't have lactation consultants at that point. No one used that terminology. And where did you go? What did you do? So you called this organization, which was all about breastfeeding mothers. But you have to be able to get that connection.
Right. I mean, also, my husband was challenged. I mean, his wife went from being pregnant to wearing cabbage leaves on my chest and a funny pillow around my waist. I mean, my husband was really, really challenged us. And he didn't flinch. I mean, at one point he said, what? You're going to do what with cabbage?
I never heard that story, by the way. Anything about using cabbage leaves until I read it in your book.
Yeah, no, and it actually works quite well.
Sounds like a very kinky movie, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, there was a point where you're just like, okay. You know.
Is it just soothing or is there something in
the cabbage? There are properties in cabbage. Well, there's two reasons. One is, you know, it's shaped very well. A big leaf of cabbage is like a bra cup. And there are properties in cabbage that work as an anti-inflammatory, as it was explained to me by my lactation consultant. And whether that's scientifically proven or not, I'm actually not sure. But it did soothe and comfort and actually reduce swelling. It's also that it's chilled. So, you know, never. And also, don't use red cabbage. That will stain everything. It does work. And
then you can put it in a salad afterwards.
I have brought it to several friends. you know, instead of a bouquet of flowers after their baby, I brought them, you know, a nursing pillow, chocolates, and cabbage.
And it sounds also like women have to have the stamina to see themselves through times that are tough and just go in knowing that there may be some bumps along the way.
Right. I think the worst thing that someone can tell you is, oh, it's normal to bleed when you're learning to breastfeed, because that's actually not true. That means that your latch isn't right. That's your body's, you know, 5 alarm bell going, this isn't working. You need to get a different latch and fine tune. And the disturbing element is when women say, I had no problem breastfeeding. I had mastitis a few times. That's when you know that, you know, you're not draining your breast properly.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on breastfeeding and that all-important first year of parenthood.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $10 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Lisa Wood Shapiro about breastfeeding and the first year of parenthood.
If somebody lives in an area where there isn't a lactation consultant available, what's the next best thing?
The best thing to do is, while you're pregnant, to go to ILCA.org, and it's ILCA. They have a major, major database, actually international database, but they have one for the United States where you would type in your state or city, and you can actually find someone that you could at least call. I was shocked at how many there are, and that even in what I considered remote places, especially when I was promoting the book, that there were quite a few. So that would be the first thing. The second thing was to find out a peer support group with people that might just be a mom leading groups, and one of them might be La Leche League, you know, even in rural communities.
And hospitals, I assume, might know. OBGYN offices.
They might know.
Obstetricians.
If you're not getting the support you need from your immediate circle, you can get on the phone, you can get on the internet, and you can find someone. Because unless you're on an island 500 miles from anywhere, you'd be surprised how many people, especially even in rural communities where, you know, they still have La Leche meetings at different churches and stuff, and you can get out there.
You mentioned loneliness in the book as a component of new motherhood, and particularly of nursing motherhood. How can new moms combat this problem?
Oh, the loneliness of the new nursing mother. It was so there. It was the most surprising thing, because here you have this added member to your family. How can you be so lonely? And with all these visitors coming by, how can you feel that absolute intense sense of loneliness? And it was just a potent feeling. And the best thing you can do, and it took me 2 weeks to figure this out, is while you're pregnant, you can inquire about local breastfeeding support groups that are free. And the smartest thing you can do, which I didn't do, and I urge people to do, and no one really does this. I don't know why. I feel when you're pregnant, you haven't gone through that door, so you don't feel entitled to go to these meetings. But find out where that meeting is, and even before you deliver, if you attend one breastfeeding support group, whether it's sponsored by a lactation consultant or by a peer group or by just the hospital, go. You might only meet two moms at that group, but they might give you the best advice you'll ever get. Like, don't use ointment on your nipple if it's getting sore. That is your body saying the latch isn't right, and all the ointment in the world isn't going to make it better, and you don't want to trap anything. So that's really important. I was not personally one for chat rooms on the internet, and I don't know if that actually gives you that camaraderie you need. Just because you go on and you see some postings, those might not be the people you want to hang out particularly with. But when you go and you see a full group of moms with new babies, you get instant membership into the new mom club, and that's what you need to find. And the longer you stay in, the harder it's going to be for you to hook into that. So even if you're sore, you're not feeling beautiful or whatever, stroll out to a park, stroll out to the baby store, I became queen of picking up new mommy friends. I mean, I stopped women on corners. You can do it. It's the only time in your life you can do it, you know, and I really recommend that.
Well, at this point, unfortunately, we have to close, but we wanted to get information in addition to your book, How My Breasts Saved the World. What resources would you suggest to new or soon-to-be nursing moms and their partners?
You know, a good way to get resources for mothers-to-be and nursing moms, first is lisawoodshapiro.com, LISAWOODSHAPIRO.com, and go to the resource section, and I have links to ILCA, which is the International Lactation Consultant Association. And that will link you right into their site to find a lactation consultant in your area. And that's really the most important thing that you need, because that's your teacher. And a baby nurse is not a lactation consultant. And you need to understand that. Lactation consultants are certified. They've done hours and hours of work. Many of them are also nurses. So that's important. You can also find great supplies, such as nursing wear. You might want to purchase a shirt that you can discreetly nurse in, or nursing bras. So I recommend Motherwear, which also is on the website. I recommend New Native Carrier, which is also on the website. And I also have lots of links to chocolate and pastry shops.
Sounds like a full service
operation.
You
know someone that's having a baby, you know, I would bring them a basket of nice slippers for them, a great nursing pillow, head of cabbage, box of chocolate, my book. But, you know, those are the things you might want. But ilka.org really is your best resource.
Like having a box of chocolate, this has been wonderful and informative. So we're so glad to have had this opportunity to talk with Lisa Wood Shapiro about this all-important first year of parenting and especially these experiences associated with breastfeeding. Thanks for being here, Lisa.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Our gift for our first caller is a copy of Lisa Wood Shapiro's book, How My Breasts Saved the World, Misadventures of a Nursing Mother. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and please spell anything that's not obvious. Mention, if you would, show number 244. If you can, tell us what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, is also available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.